This is Sarah Weymouth, and welcome to my podcast, where we talk about everything for you to live your best life. And we have a little fun too, from talking about business, marriage, parenthood, money, health, home decor, friendship, beauty, and pop culture. I'm a mother to three, a wife, a successful business owner, and I want to live my highest best self. Follow along as we learn together, grow, teach, because you only get to live one life. Oh, and I promise to dig deeper and to ask the tough questions. This is the Lime Podcast.
Hello. I feel like it's been forever, even though it hasn't. There was an episode last week too. I just feel like it's been a long week, a really long week. I don't know, I got like allergies or something over Mother's Day weekend. I just did not feel good. Just very like sneezy, watery eyes, mucus, just headache from all the pressure. Like it just wasn't fun. So I feel like I'm coming out of that fog and I can still feel it like in the back of my throat. I can still, you know, I'm just not 100%. So, I'm a little off. So if I sound a little funny or I cough, you know why. But I really wanted to do a fun episode of just like what I've learned this week. Because I feel like I'm always absorbing information. I'm always learning. And it's fun to talk about these topics. It's almost like a hot topic type thing, I guess you could call it. So my father-in-law is visiting. He is here for baseball playoffs for my kids. And then my oldest is graduating from middle school, or I guess they call it a promotion. I don't know. You know, he's graduating next week. And then all the boys, my husband, father-in-law, three boys are all going to go camping. And so he's here for that. And so he was like, oh, I found this great app and you just scan the barcode on the item and it basically rates it from 1 to 100 and tells you how healthy it is. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So basically eliminates you having to like read the ingredients, understand what you're reading, all of that, right? And I was like, this is smart. So at first we're just like scanning basically like junk versus not junk. Like my kids like these Scooby snacks and they're literally like these little packs. They're blue. They have like Scooby on them and you can only get them at like normal grocery stores like Publix, Safeway, Kroger's, that sort of thing. So literally once in a blue moon, I'll buy these snacks because I know that they're not healthy. They're not organic. They're not non-GMO. They're just straight crap. So like we scan this and this thing gets a 4 out of 100. It was like so bad. I was like, oh, I'm never buying that again. But it does track like additives, preservatives, and then it also tracks sodium, fiber, fats, that sort of thing. And oh, I think overall like calories. So then we would scan like something from Whole Foods and it would get like a better rating or whatever, right? Well, I grabbed my chips. I get those Boulder chips that are just literally potato, avocado oil, and salt. Those are the only ingredients. It's so healthy. The only thing I don't like is that they're not organic. But, you know, it's like it's really hard to find just like clean chips now. So we had a bag and I scanned it and it got, I think it was like 35 out of 100, like not a good rating. And I was like, what? Like, this is garbage. So I looked at the details and it says high in fat because it's made with avocado oil. Avocado is high in fat, but it's good fat. Also said high in sodium. I'm like, yeah, the only ingredients is salt, oil, and potato. So like, obviously it's salty. Like salt's not bad for you, you guys. Salt we need. Salt is a necessity. At some point, salt got a bad name. We need healthy salts in our diet, period. So this app pissed me off so much. I told my father-in-law, I'm like, no. This app is garbage. Because if I grab a bag of chips that has a different oil, a seed oil, a garbage oil, it is going to rate it higher than this bag of chips just because avocado oil is more fatty. So I'm like, this app, but like, I know this because I'm well educated when it comes to food. I've been analyzing our food for the last decade plus, but most people, even the healthiest type of person, is going to start scanning things in this app and go, oh, this is not healthy. I shouldn't be eating it. I'm going to eat that. Not understanding the breakdown of how this app is processing everything, right? So this health app pissed me off. I already forgot the name of it. I'm deleting it off. I put it on my phone and then I'm delete it now. I think it's good if like you're really unhealthy. Like if someone is like drinking Pepsi and eating fast food and, you know, buying Cheez-Its and they're trying to clean up their diet, like, yeah, okay, it's going to work for them because they're going from straight garbage to something less garbage, you know, or they're comparing it to some, you know, they're comparing like a bag of like Fritos to something that's like organic and has less additives and preservatives and natural flavoring. Like, yeah, okay, that is going to be helpful. But when someone is already health conscious and they're looking at the nitty gritty, like proper oils, this app does nothing for you. It actually does the opposite because it's looking at things that don't matter, like fat. Like we need healthy fats. We need proper fats in our diets. So if you're trying to lose weight by eliminating fat, you're doing a disservice to your health as a whole, you know? So that was fun this week. We played with this app and now I know it's garbage. It's going off my phone. But someone needs to create an app very similar, but that actually looks at proper oils and understands the difference between healthy fats, natural fats versus unhealthy fats and fats that are added into it. Needs to look at things like real sugar, organic sugar versus the fake sugars, you know? So like things like that. Like that's what we need, but I don't think that exists. If it does, someone give me a shout out, please. Another thing that's been, I mean, I already knew this stuff before this week actually, but there's been a lot of talk about Prime and Skittles and all these foods that all of a sudden are having lawsuits, are getting banned. And these are things that I've been saying for months, years, and now people are starting to talk about it. So let's talk about it. So Prime has a lawsuit out on them because their product has three times the amount of forever chemicals that you are supposed to have in your body for a lifetime, which is insane. And forever chemicals are what they say they are. It's something that stays in your system long term. It's very hard to get rid of. Most people don't know how to get rid of them. Myself included, like I would have to research this, like how to detox forever chemicals, which I probably should do. And we should all do some sort of a hardcore detox at this point. It's really scary. And I don't let my kids drink Prime. Back when a lot of kids were doing the caffeinated version and they were having heart issues, I mean, it was really scary. So I kind of eliminated Prime back then, whether it was caffeinated or not, I was like, And now it's like, everyone's like, whoa, we shouldn't be doing Prime. It's like, yeah, well, let's be honest. We shouldn't be doing Gatorade either. Like Gatorade is garbage too. Maybe it doesn't have three times the forever chemicals like Prime does. But I don't understand why as a society, we can't just drink water. Like why? Why is it when we're doing baseball snacks, there has to be a Gatorade or a Prime? Like our kids have water bottles. Like just drink your water. Like I don't get it because I love water so much and I have eliminated pretty much everything else. You know, but let's be honest, a Prime, a Gatorade, any of these sports type drinks or vitamin type drinks, they're really not that different from just drinking soda. Like, let's just be real. You know, they might replace some of the sugar with something else that's bad, some other chemical, but it's all bad. Like, first of all, why are we giving our children drinks that are dyed different colors? Like, why do we want that fake coloring in our drink? That's completely unnecessary. They do that so it appeals to children, right? So children are like, ooh, I want the red one. Ooh, I want the blue one. It could be clear. Like, why? So that makes me so mad. But also, like, let this be a wake-up call. Like, let's just stop. Let's just stop. My kids are so smart at this point. When snacks get handed out, they either say no or they take it and we'll just like give it to someone else. And I'm like, just don't take it. Just do not take the drink. You don't need it. You're not going to drink it. I'm not going to let you drink it. So I hope all parents are just like, let's just stop giving money to companies like this. This is disgusting. And then Skittles have been really a hot topic because the state of California has passed a law where they are going to ban Skittles being sold and consumed in the state of California, which is great. Way to go, California. We finally have a law we can agree on. But for those that don't know, there is something called titanium dioxide, I believe. It's also known as TiO2. And I think it has another nickname, which also makes it confusing because when you go to read ingredients, you're like, what is that? Like, literally, what am I reading? But this is something that is found in cosmetics. It's found in paint. It's found in plastic. Like, why is this in our food? And how is it that the FDA has approved any of this across the board, but this specifically? It is literally considered unfit for human consumption. So again, we've known about this for a long time. My kids know that Skittles are not allowed. When they get their Halloween candy, I pull all the Skittles out and throw them away. When they want to buy candy somewhere, I will let them sometimes, but absolutely no Skittles allowed, period. So, you know, it is, again, mind-blowing that this is legal. Like, how is this legal? Why is this allowed in our country? You can't sell Skittles in other countries for this reason. Why is this legal in our country? The way, I mean, at this point, I don't even see the point of the FDA. Like, let's just start a new organization and have them give their stamp of approval. And when I see that, I will consume. Like, we need, and also, why is this in cosmetics? Like, I understand plastics and paints, but why cosmetics? That's another red flag. That's another reason why companies like Beauty Counter are doing so well, is because we don't want these toxins in our products. Stop it. That's enough. So yeah, a lot of hot topics. If you do not follow The Food Babe, she's on Facebook, she's on Instagram, she's all over the place. I think she has a blog website. She's amazing. She has highlighted a lot of these things for years and years and years. She also does a really good job of like, okay, you want to buy cheese, don't buy this cheese. Or you want to have Greek yogurt, don't have this Greek yogurt, have this Greek yogurt. And it's just, it's not like eliminating foods, it's just getting us to shop smarter and healthier and to just be aware of like literally what we're consuming. She talks a lot about like recently like Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A no longer is doing antibiotic-free chicken like they used to. Also, like, I think like a chicken sandwich has something crazy like 50 ingredients. Why? Why would a sandwich of any type have 50 ingredients? Like, I could understand 10. You know, you could be like, okay, there's a couple ingredients to bread the chicken. The chicken is one ingredient. Couple ingredients to make the bread. You know, then you throw on what the vegetables. But like, why? It's disgusting. So yeah, so follow her. You can definitely see details on all of that kind of stuff. And it's very eye-opening. Like, I I used to be like, okay, they could have Chick-fil-A once in a while. Like, they used to be like, they would go camping and then like on their way home from camping, daddy would get them Chick-fil-A, because we don't eat fast food at all in this house. But like, I was like, okay, like Chick-fil-A is not as bad as McDonald's, right? And it's like, no, but it is. So it's very eye-opening. So like, once you see that information, you're like, no, you don't need to stop there on the way home from camping. Like, just do something else. Like, literally stop at Whole Foods and get a slice of pizza. Like, we have to put our money where our mouth is at this point to get rid of these companies, unfortunately. The government is not going to protect us. They have proven it decade after decade with our FDA standards. So, yeah, we have to take these things in our own hands. And that's why I think it's important that I share information like this on my Instagram, or we talk about it on this podcast, because, again, our health is everything. And we've talked about this in numerous episodes, that if you really want to be your best self, it all comes down to your health first. Another thing that came up this week, Victoria's Secret Fashion Show is returning in 2024. I did an episode, I think it was our first pop culture episode, and it was April of last year, right when the podcast was basically kind of launching. And we talked about Victoria's Secret as a business, as a marketing powerhouse. And I haven't re-listened to that episode, obviously, but if I had to guess, I definitely talked about the fashion show and how it was a big mistake that they got rid of it, and that really they were trying to be all woke and like, oh, you know, we're going to have these, you know, whatever women be our models and get rid of the bombshells and get rid of the fashion show and get rid of this and get rid of that. And it hasn't worked. Their business sucks. They filed bankruptcy in 2019. Nobody even talks about Victoria's Secret anymore, where it used to be like the it place. It just was. And so I think they're trying to, they're obviously waking up. Their numbers have proven themselves, and they're trying to dial it back, go back to the old Victoria's Secret. And you can see in the ad, it's one of the old school legendary bombshell Victoria's Secret models. I forget exactly who it was. Honestly, I'm so sorry. I should have looked that up before I did this. It was one of the blonde ones. Was it Candace? I don't know. Go look. But you can definitely see that they're trying to say, like, it's going to be the way it was. I hope. I'm definitely going to watch the fashion show. I'm not sure when it's supposed to come out. Typically, it's like a October, November timeline. I don't know if they're going to do it differently, but we'll see. But I'm definitely going to watch it. I'm curious to see if they're going to try to insert some crazy wokeness, you know, who knows. But hopefully they're smart enough to not play that game, because it hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked. It will never work. I mean, look at Calvin Klein. If you look at their ads from the 90s, it was Mark Wahlberg and like supermodels and like just pure hotness. And then you fast forward to like 2020, 2021, and they have like people that are obese, like men wearing bras. Like, it's just really bizarre advertisement. I don't understand their political stance. I don't understand their social stance. It definitely doesn't make anyone want to buy the product. And I think it shows. I think it shows. I think all of these things, these tactics, don't work on a marketing business standpoint. And it shows in their numbers. It shows in their business and really their notoriety. No one's talking about Calvin Klein. No one has talked about Calvin Klein since the Kardashians wore their stuff in an ad. And I believe Kylie was pregnant with her first. So this must have been 4 or 5 years ago, right? No one has talked about Calvin Klein since. And since then, they've gone completely downhill. So for me, with my marketing background and just my interest in business and marketing, I can tell you that it has been very fascinating to watch these companies kind of jump on this crazy bandwagon and then basically crash and burn. You know, I think what people don't understand is that these bigger companies, they can file for bankruptcy, have all of their debt removed, and still stay in business, which is wild to me how that's even legal. But as a small business, if I ever had to file bankruptcy, I would never have the credit again to run my business. I wouldn't be able to. I would have to have the cash. So these people, it's like a loophole, or they have cash backing them up. It's very, very bizarre, but it happens all the time. So if you really analyze these large companies, their marketing, I mean, look at Target. Last year, they did the Pride stuff. It was all on the front, and it was just so in your face loud. It was a bunch of stuff that none of us would ever want to buy. Like, I'm sorry. It was really just like garbage. Like, not even like a political stance, because I honestly could care less. I have the stance of you do you, I do me. I could care. Don't force me to do anything. I'm not going to force you to do anything. But it was literally like just straight garbage. Like, no one would want to buy that stuff. And it was all in the front of the store, and it was a huge highlighted moment. And people started boycotting. I know I did. Like, we stopped going to Target. We started shopping at Walmart. Like, it was very much of like, we're going to show you from our, as consumers, that we're not okay with you putting bullshit on us. I think it was also like, it was a time period where it should have been like summer items or Father's Day items or 4th of July items or Memorial Day items. And they were just like shoving Prime stuff down. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, Pride, not Prime. But it's like, it was very obvious. It was very forced. It was very loud. And, you know, as consumers, we're like, that doesn't work for us. Nice try. You don't get to dictate what we need and what we buy. We get to dictate that. That's how this works. That's how it actually works, guys. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what Victoria's Secret does in this next year. I think that they could very easily gain back their old status if they're very smart and very strategic here, or they could rope us in with a here's the fashion show and then completely blow it with a bunch of garbage. So I'm curious. I'm very curious. Also, in fact, I mean, I obviously work for myself. I have my own business. If there was ever a chance that I would go back to corporate, it would be probably if Victoria's Secret said, hey, we want you to run our marketing, like literally be the head of our marketing. And I would do it because I feel like it's so iconic. I would bring it back to its roots. And it's really, it's not rocket science. They're just being stupid. They're playing this game that I don't understand. Another thing I've really been noticing a lot this week, but in general, is this really big pushback on social media marketing. I feel like my generation and the generation a little bit younger than me and the generation older than me, we're kind of over it. Like, I don't want to follow influencers anymore. I don't want to get sold to on random garbage. Yeah, we like to watch the reels and we like to be on social media. I think at this point, there is definitely a level of addiction from all of us. So that's not going away. But I think what we want to consume and what we want to see is just changing. And I don't think that the younger generation agrees. So I think it's going to be a very interesting polarizing year, in my opinion. But I really see people being like, I don't want to make reels. Like, I see business owners that are like, I don't want to do a silly dance to get followers or to get sales. Or, you know, I mean, myself included. Like, I'm not on TikTok. I probably should be on some level, but I'm not on TikTok. We do very minimal reels for Lemon. And it's probably a little bit of a mistake. But I think all of us are like, I don't want to. I literally just don't want to. Like, it feels very silly. Like, I've thought about doing videos of like, this is my day, because I have people ask me all the time, like, how do you schedule your day? How do you have three kids and a business and a podcast and work out every day and eat healthy and all the things? And I do think we're all a little curious. Like, I would love to see what Jennifer Aniston's day looks like, or Gwyneth Paltrow, or whatever. But like, I literally can't bring myself to make that video because I'm like, this is so stupid. Like, I'm going to videotape myself working out. I'm going to videotape myself taking my vitamins. Like, I'm going to give you a timestamp of everything I do. I just would rather do it like this. I'd rather have podcasts where we talk about things. I'd rather have guests on where we can discuss and debate and hear different points of view. I like watching videos of discussions. I like listening to lectures. I just think that we consume the social media, but we're looking for more. I think this is a big part of the reason why podcasting is growing so much and so quickly, is because we're able to absorb more information in a more meaningful way instead of small little clips. Like, have you guys seen now on Reels, they'll do like little clips and it's like a podcast, for example, and it'll be like they're talking and you're getting really interested and you're like, yeah, I'm really curious on this topic. What's the answer? And then they cut off and they're like, listen to my podcast. And they're like trying to rope you in to go to their podcast. And I get it. Like, that's an interesting tactic, but it makes me realize how complete BS Reels are, right? It's like these little snippets and you don't even have any idea of who's talking and what they're necessarily talking about. And it's like you can see that we're craving more. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm craving like longer videos. I'm craving more meaningful conversations, and the current social media world is just not doing it. It's really, quite frankly, it's really dumbed down. It's very much for the person that isn't very smart. Like, and I guess that's the point. But I think that there are people like myself of my generation that are asking for more, that are kind of over it. You know, like, how many times can we watch the same silly reel done 15 different ways? Like, we're over it. You know, I don't want to watch you dance. I don't want to watch, like, we're over it. We've moved on. We have evolved. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how social changes. And I do think it's going to affect influencers a lot. Like, I don't think it's as easy as it once was. Like, I think, you know, 3 years ago, if an influencer put something on and said, oh my God, I got it on Amazon for $20, they probably got a lot of people buying it. I think at this point, we're starting to learn. We're starting to learn that the dupes are cheap and they fall apart. We're starting to learn that a lot of these influencers are buying stuff, putting it on, taking the video, and then returning it. Like, they're not even wearing this stuff. You know, how many times have you said to an influencer or someone that you like, that you follow, oh my God, I love your jeans. And then they go, oh yeah, these are from like 5 years ago, right? Because what they're really wearing is stuff that they like. It's not the stuff that you can purchase today necessarily. And I do think that there's going to be a little bit of a shift. I don't know what the shift is going to be totally, but I think it's going to be very interesting to follow. And I've talked to a lot of people this week that I think are feeling it as well, whether they're a business owner, an influencer, someone that absorbs the content like you and me, all of that. Okay, next thing that has been kind of like a topic this week has been coffee. Listen, I have been very vocal that I'm anti-coffee. I do not drink coffee. I have never drank coffee. And I think a big part of it for me was that I was addicted to Pepsi and Coke the end of high school into college. I drank a lot of it. Let me back up. I wouldn't buy it to have it at the house, but every time I went out, I would order a Coke every time. And cutting soda out was really hard. And I used to think it was like the sugar or just like the comfort of it. Like I would order my pizza and I would order a Coke. Like it was just like the normal. But now, like looking back the last few years, I'm like, oh my gosh, I think I was addicted to the caffeine, because I wouldn't really want like a Sprite or anything else. I really just wanted the Coke and Pepsi. I wanted probably that kick of caffeine. And so when I did cut it out, I did not replace it with coffee, and it was the best thing I've ever done for my health. When I had babies, everyone's like, you're going to drink coffee, you're going to be so tired. And I never did it. I never did it. And as we know, it can be addictive because of the caffeine, and anything you're addicted to, I say is bad. Like if you have to have it, there's a problem. You never want any sort of thing to have a hold on you, right? But I also learned a lot this week about how caffeine actually leaches magnesium and calcium out of the body. So a lot of women in particular struggle with low magnesium and calcium issues. You know, people talk a lot about vitamin D deficiencies, things like that. And it really was like a, oh, this could be a huge part of it. And no one knows that, and no one talks about that. Another big thing that I've been talking about the last few weeks with like my husband, I was telling my father-in-law who's visiting, is that mold. There's mold in coffee. And Candace actually touched on this in the second episode, I believe I had her on. If you haven't listened to any of the episodes with Candace, she's amazing. Go back. Great, great, great episodes. Very long. But she actually brought up the mold in the coffee. And I didn't put two and two together because I thought more so it's like the coffee machines like at Starbucks and stuff probably have mold in them, and they probably do. Let's be honest, they're probably not cleaning them properly. They're huge machines, and you know, they probably have mold and bacteria and stuff in them, which is nasty. That's what I thought she was really referring to when we were talking about, you know, coffee. But I've learned in the last week or so that no, the coffee itself, the coffee beans itself, has mold. And China, Europe, all these countries have very strong laws against these things where they won't allow moldy coffee in their country. And there has been, I believe, I saw there was 36 different accredited studies on this. That's a lot, you guys. And it showed that there would be huge shipments of coffee that would be denied, for example, going into China because of their mold. And where do they do with them? Where do they send them? To the US, because we have no restrictions on that. And the scary part is it doesn't matter what kind of coffee you're drinking, right? Like we're obviously I don't drink coffee, but like my husband drinks organic coffee, but mold doesn't, I mean, it could be organic, it could be not organic, it could be high quality coffee, it could be low quality coffee. Mold could be on any coffee. I mean, in fact, mold could be organic. It could be organic mold, right? Really scary. I mean, mold, if you do some research on mold and what mold can do to your body, it can wreak havoc, absolute havoc, and you have to detox off of it. And if you're if you're still consuming the mold while you're trying to detox off of it, you're screwed. So I say do your research. I'm sure that there's a way to get coffee from other countries, but I honestly just feel like cut the coffee out. Like, why are we doing this to ourselves? The caffeine is not good. Starting your day with caffeine dehydrates you, which a lot of people have dehydration issues. I think it ages you. Again, we all know we need to hydrate for young, beautiful, glowing skin. You know, a lot of times people will say, oh my God, you look so much younger than what I actually am. I'm 37, going to be 38. Like people are usually like shocked that I even have kids because they think I'm so much younger. And I think a lot of it is genetics and other things that I do. But I do think a big part of it is that I don't drink coffee and I never have. I literally wake up in the morning and I hydrate my body. I drink water. And like I have like a herbal organic tea sometimes, but like I'm mostly just doing water. I don't drink soda. I don't have any of these like energy drinks or prime drinks or garbage drinks. I do not do juice. I do not do coffee and I do not do alcohol. I do alcohol like in a social setting, like on date night or like we're having a gathering or we're at an event or something like that. But like day in and day out, I'm just drinking water. And I don't understand why this is so difficult for people. It's like, as soon as you talk about coffee and alcohol, people are like, I draw the line. Like, I need to have my coffee. I need to have my wine. I don't get it. If something has a hold on you like that, then you're addicted. I actually heard one time that if you have one glass of alcohol, even if it's just wine or beer every single day, that's an addiction. So yeah, there's also been a lot of talk about how coffee affects cortisone levels and affects your hormones. And a lot of people are having hormone issues now, women and men. I mean, men have very depleted and low testosterone now. I mean, there are young, like 20, 30 year old guys that are having issues with sperm count or having issues sexually. There are obviously women having major issues, whether it's trying to get pregnant or just hormonal issues across the board. Women are struggling as they get closer and closer to menopause. I just think we need to look at these sorts of things. You know, I mean, if majority of people are pounding coffee every day and it's disrupting things like, you know, magnesium in our system, or it has mold in it, or it's harming our hormone levels, then we're looking at a massive issue. Like, this is no joke. And I do think it shows, you know, there's a lot of women that are quote unquote being healthy, but if they're drinking coffee, then it, like, you could be eating healthy and working out and getting good sleep, but then if you're drinking mold every day, you know, like, what are you, you're harming your body daily. And it's kind of a bold statement, and I know people don't like to hear this about coffee because they're so addicted. And I've heard people say, like, it's not even the coffee. I just like the ritual of, like, having my cup in the morning, and I get that, but, like, replace it with something else. Like, I do chaga now. It's a mushroom extract. I put a little bit in my green tea or in my detox tea, or sometimes I do red raspberry tea, which is great leading towards your period and through your period. And I put a little chaga in there and a little bit of the micro C powder, which is vitamin C. And it kind of looks like a coffee because that mushroom chaga powder is brown and it makes everything just kind of look dark brown. And maybe that is your replacement. Maybe that makes you feel like you're having your cup of coffee. I don't know, but it blows my mind what a stronghold this has on people, because it's a drink. Like, I understand food, like, we're hungry, we have to eat. It's a lot harder for me to change my eating habits versus my drinking habits. Like, drinking habits are so easy for me. Like, I'll just drink water. I would rather drink water and eat my calories. Like, I've always said that, and I think that's part of it for me. With this cutting out the soda, which I cut out soda like 15 years ago, you guys. So it's been so long. And yeah, and I get it. It's hard. Like, I remember when I was pregnant, I cut out all artificial color. And it was hard because I love sour candy. Like right now, I'll do a little bit of candy once in a while. But I'm actually less interested in the candy today than I was when I was pregnant. I had like strong, strong cravings, and it was hard, but I did it. 9 months, I didn't do it. And then I think even when the kids were born, I didn't do it because of the breast milk, right? So it just continued. Like, it was like, all right, well, because I'm just not eating this stuff. And it was hard, but like, it's not impossible. Like, people talk about cutting out coffee, like, I'm asking them to not sleep. You know, it's like, it's not that hard. Like, but it is hard because it's an addiction, and any form of addiction is hard. Like, I'm sure I've got some level of addiction to sugar. I think we all do. And it's hard. It's very hard. You get those sugar cravings and it can feel impossible. So yeah, anyways, I thought that was just interesting. You know, those three components, the magnesium, calcium being like leaked out of the body, the mold in coffee, and then the correlation of it screwing with your hormones. That's like, it's a huge trifecta right there. Huge. So yeah, this is the stuff I've been learning this week, talking about this week. It's been hot topics this week. It's been of interest for me this week. And I also want to say this. I think that, like, knowledge is power. Things take time. But I really believe that if we put our money where our mouth is, like, whether it's with influencers selling us stuff or with products that are toxic, or coffee being shipped over here with mold in it. Like, no matter what it is, we have to start putting our money where our mouth is. And it's hard. It's hard to say no to our kids. It's hard to spend the extra money to get the healthy organic stuff. It's hard to try different makeups until you find one that's non-toxic and works for your skin. Like, all of this shouldn't be. Like, we shouldn't have to work this hard. But we do. And we're just going to have to put these businesses out of business one by one. And it's hard because people are addicted. People are addicted to their McDonald's. They're addicted to their sodas. They're, you know, Oreos specifically are notorious for having chemicals that make you addicted and make you want to eat the whole thing. Like, eating the whole thing of Oreos is not an accident. If you have a dark, organic, pure cocoa chocolate, you can't eat that much. Like, one or two little pieces and like, that's enough, because it's very dense. It's a little bit bitter. It's very much like overpowering. But Oreos, I could eat the whole container too, right? They do that on purpose. So we need to start opening our eyes. Oh my gosh, this reminds me of another thing. I also learned that a lot of ice cream is not ice cream. So if you go to the store and if it doesn't say actual ice cream on the container, it says frozen treat or something like that, it's not real ice cream. Like, it doesn't have enough of the ingredients to actually be called ice cream because it's all chock full of chemicals. So yeah, I mean, to me, it's like, just always do organic ice cream and you won't have to worry about this, because if it's organic, it won't have any of the preservatives, additives, fake flavoring, fake dyes, all of that. But if you find yourself in a situation where you're like, I don't know, at a gas station or like in the middle of nowhere and your kids want an ice cream treat, make sure that the packaging actually says ice cream on it. And I'll also say this, I've been eating organic for, gosh, over a decade, well over a decade. I mean, started eating organic when me and my husband started dating. Like, he was really the one to actually open my eyes to it initially before anyone else was talking about it. And that was 13 years ago, 13 and a half now, something like that. It's been a long time. 13 and a half, yes, 13 and a half. I had to think about that. 13 and a half years of eating organic. And now when I have ice cream, like, I'm not a big ice cream person. So when I do have ice cream, I get like the good stuff, organic, non-GMO, get it from Whole Foods or Sprouts or whatever, have it at home pretty much. So when I randomly am like on vacation or I have a little bit of ice cream out and it's not good quality, you can taste the difference. Like, it literally tastes fake. You're like, ugh. And it's funny because here in Tennessee, you don't really notice it because a lot of the ice cream places, it's real ice cream. They use real milk. A lot of there's Nash Creamery right not too far from us that does real ice cream from, you know, real milk from their cows. They make real cheese. It's all made in house. There's Hatcher has ice cream that is real ice cream, again, locally made. Like, you can taste the difference because it's all real ingredients and it's real milk and real cream and real sugar. There's no fake dyes or additives. But aside from living here in this crazy bubble of realness, if you just go buy ice cream and it's just garbage, you can taste the difference. It's nasty. I actually taste the difference too with fake chocolate versus real chocolate now. The fake stuff feels waxy. If you go and have a Snickers bar or something, it feels waxy and shiny versus the organic stuff. So yeah, anyways, I find all this very interesting. This was what I was talking about this week.